Bending Light, Chapter 22. "It's not supposed to rain here!" Hermione shrieked as she ran towards her flat, Draco close behind her. She fumbled with the key and fitted it into the lock, pushing the large entryway door open with her shoulder, as they fell inside laughing and gasping. The foyer was dark and redolent of damp cement, totally unlike the dusty scent Hermione usually associated with it. She took one look at Draco, hair plastered against his head and jacket dripping with water, grabbed his hand and started throwing him up the steps. "Come on! At least the flat will be warmer."
"I think the dash from the bike made me twice as wet as the ride itself."
Draco shook his sleeve as they got to the flat door.
"I hope it's all right where I parked it."
He shoved a hand into his hair and pushed it back off his forehead. "I'm sure it's fine." Hermione got the door open, shrugged out of her jacket and kicked off her sandals. She called out for Lavender, but there was no response. "I think she's got the closing shift today." Draco was peeling wet leather off his arms and stepping out of his boots.
"Blaze mentioned something about a special dinner."
"Oh, that's right. Their anniversary or some such." Hermione rolled her eyes very gently.
"Yeah, that's it. 2 months,"
Draco chuckled. "A lifetime." Hermione's smile was mocking, but it faded as she looked at him. It actually did feel like she'd lived a whole alternative life since the beginning of the summer. So much had changed. The spark of laughter in Draco's eyes mellowed, and she knew he was thinking the same thing.
"A lifetime indeed,"
he murmured, as he reached out for her and pulled her into a soft kiss. His lips were warm, and Hermione lost herself in them for a moment, but his shirt was cold and clammy, so she pulled away, twisting the dripping cotton in her hands. "Let's get out of these wet things." A mischievous look flashed over his face.
"By all means."
His long fingers reached for her and began undoing her blouse buttons.
"Happy to help with yours."
She laughed and swatted at him. "Before you do that, let me get us some towels and figure out how to work the radiator in my bedroom so we can hang things to dry. Why don't you put the kettle on for tea?" She gave him a light shove towards the kitchen. Draco's eyebrows went up and stayed up at the word bedroom.
"All right, but I reserve the right to remove any damp underthings."
Hermione shook her head and giggled as she moved down the hall, pulling towels from the closet and craning her neck to see out the flat windows and over the roofline of the buildings opposite. The sky above them was a deep, angry grey, and drops continued to hurl out of it. A rumble of thunder rolled in the distance, and she was surprised anew. Of course, Italy had storms and rain just like any other place, but after 60 straight days of sunshine, it was somewhat of a shock. Walking into her bedroom, she flicked on the lamp, the usually light and bright flat having been sunk into the gloom, and went to the radiator, which she'd never used. Too bad they weren't in Draco's bedroom with the fireplace, she wished idly as she twiddled knobs and dials. But her flat had been the much closer option when they'd sped back to San Cipriano after their lunch in Aquino had been interrupted by the surprise storm. The radiator began issuing a series of hisses and pops, and Hermione felt a faint hint of heat coming off its metal sides. She nodded with satisfaction and went to the window, gazing past the drops sliding down the glass into the streets below. The whole village looked different, the pavements deserted and the usual ochres and creams stained dark by the wet. She put her fingertips to the cold glass, hearing Draco in the kitchen, the kettle going as cupboards opened and shut. A feeling of contentment stole over her, and she smiled. If this summer felt like a lifetime, then the last week had been like a season within it, warm and sweet. She and Draco had been together almost constantly when they weren't working. She'd barely seen Lavender and Blaze, or Theo. In fact, now that she thought about it, everyone seemed to have paired off, with Lav at Blaze's every night, and Theo almost having moved into Francesca's flat. It gave her a little stab of melancholy somehow, although the delight of being with Draco mostly overshadowed it. Hermione was trying not to name things when their situation was so temporary and precarious, but she couldn't remember a time when she'd felt this happy or whole.
"You're still dressed?"
Draco appeared in the doorway with two mugs in his hands, and Hermione turned, raising a brow. "Well, it's not quite warm in here yet. Come in and close the door."
"Yes, ma'am."
He set the steaming tea down and came to the window with her.
"It looks so different."
"It really does." She glanced up at his beautiful profile as he watched the scene below. After a moment, he looked back at her and smiled so sweetly that her heart squeezed a little in her chest. He reached out and lifted a lock of her hair.
"The water made it more curly."
"I know," she wrinkled her nose.
"I love it."
He turned and pulled her up to him. She couldn't help the smile that bloomed at his words. "And yours is so dark. You almost look like a regular blonde when it's wet." Reaching up, she slid her fingers against his temple. He tilted his head over to her hand and closed his eyes.
"Funny. I used to be so proud of it,"
he said softly. "Your hair? What do you mean?"
"The colour. The way it marked me out as a Malfoy."
He grimaced, his eyes still closed.
"Now I'd change it if I could. Except that it would be so obvious I was trying."
"No." The word came on a soft exhale. "I love your hair." She rubbed the fine strands between her fingers.
"You do?"
She reached up and pressed her lips to his. "Yes, it's a part of you." She pulled back and squinted at him. "And it's bloody attractive." He half laughed and caught her tight against him.
"Is it warm enough to take this off now?"
he murmured, skimming his fingers over the fabric of her blouse. I think so." She smiled against his lips, and he made swift work of the shirt and pushed it off her shoulders. "And yours," she said, pulling the damp cotton up and over his head. "I'll just hang them to dry." She broke away and began fiddling with hangers on the radiator. It said something about how unaccustomed she'd become to magic, that it barely occurred to her to use a spell instead of the muggle method. Draco ran a towel over himself, then flopped back down on her bed. She turned to see him laying against her pillows, gorgeously rumpled. He was watching her movements quietly. "Some music?" she asked, turning to the small player on her vanity table. "I still have your tapes from the party, and some new CDs."
"Something quiet," he said, his eyes sweeping over her. "And then come over here. You're too far away."
Hermione felt a trickle of heat as she ran her eyes over his long, lean body and beautiful face. They hadn't had sex yet, but she found herself thinking about it almost constantly, especially when they were alone. She'd never wanted anyone the way she wanted him. "This one," she murmured, putting one of her newer purchases on and pressing play. A hushed and beautiful melody filled the room as she climbed onto the bed and over Draco, covering his body with hers.
"This is nice,"
he sighed, his fingers reaching around her torso and clasping her waist. "The music or me?" She nipped at the place where his jaw met his neck. He let out a sharp breath.
"Both. Although I don't know why you're still wearing damp trousers and we're not under the blankets."
"Why don't you help me with that?"
"Gladly."
He worked her out of her jeans, but wouldn't let her up to hang them.
"Leave it,"
he whispered, turning her over and pinning her wrists lightly as he kissed her. "Okay." He ducked his head and she felt his lips through the thin fabric of her bra.
"This is still damp, though,"
I know. She wriggled a little in place as he moved down and kissed her stomach. Why don't you...
Gladly.
He repeated himself with a smile in his voice as her bra clip freed, and he followed the path of its strap down her arm with his lips. The song changed. Oh, I love this one, she sighed, her fingers drifting to his hair.
It's beautiful.
He stopped to listen to the words.
And sad.
He propped back up to look at her, his face serious. She reached up and touched his cheek, traced the path over his eyes and nose and lips. It is. He heaved a deep sigh. What? Hermione frowned up at him.
I'm just... worried. Everything's rushing up so fast.
Hermione cringed internally. It was true. They only had a few weeks left. What are you worried about? Tell me.
What am I not worried about?
He looked away.
But specifically, I guess, just what comes next. For me, for you.
He looked back at her.
I mean, at least you'll be at Hogwarts. But what if it falls to the other side? What would happen to you?
Hermione took a deep breath. She'd been avoiding talking to Draco about her plans with Harry, because she'd wanted to enjoy their time together without bringing in potential conflict. It was why she hadn't asked him about his plans yet either. It had never seemed like the right time. Until now. She let her breath out. Well, I've been meaning to talk to you about that.
About what?
He rolled over and sat up against the headboard, his posture and gaze suddenly alert. She sat up too, tucking the blankets around her. My plans for after we leave here. He cocked his head and blinked.
What plans?
When Harry was here, we talked about what he's going to do next and my role in that. I don't think I should tell you a lot of details, just in case. She grimaced. I don't want to put you in danger.
Okay.
He looked worried, so Hermione rushed on, getting it out quickly. I don't know how much you know about Harry and Vold. Draco flinched, and Hermione stopped herself. And him?
I know that he wants Potter dead. He's obsessed with the idea.
That's right. Yes.
And I imagine that's because Potter poses some kind of threat to him. Or at least he believes Potter does.
Exactly. Hermione went silent as she tried to work out what she could tell Draco about the next part.
So?
His soft tones cut through her thoughts.
Does that mean Potter's staying in hiding?
It's a bit more complicated than that. Hermione sighed at Draco's puzzled expression. I'm sorry. I'm just trying to be careful. He nodded, and she reached out to twine her fingers with his. What if there was a way to stop him, and Harry knew what it was?
What? A spell or a...
Hermione shook her head. I don't want to say more.
Okay.
But what Harry is doing, he needs help. My help. Draco's frown deepened.
What are you trying to say?
That I won't be going back to Hogwarts this year.
What?
He sat up straight.
But that's the safest place for you.
Not necessarily. As you just said, it could be taken over. Dumbledore is not well. And that Azkaban break. His power is growing. Draco flopped back against the cushions and stared out into nothing. He was still clasping Hermione's hand, but much tighter now.
I still don't like it. How will you keep safe? Potter can't keep you safe.
His eyes darted to hers, dark and troubled. How will any of us? She kept his gaze. I haven't wanted to ask, and mar all this. She motioned her hand to indicate the quiet bedroom and their barely clad selves. But what are you doing after we leave here? I know you're up to something with Lupin. He tilted his head back against the wall and blew out a breath. He was silent for a long time until he spoke abruptly.
It's also probably best I don't tell you too much, now that I know you'll be out in the world. In case you're...
He shook his head, and a slight shudder passed over his features. But
I'm planning to help in some way.
He gently disentangled his hand and ran it through his hair. Hermione pressed her lips together. Counterintelligence?
Yeah.
Now it was her turn to flop back. This was what she had suspected, and she absolutely hated the idea. She put her hands up over her face and sighed deeply, the sigh turning into a kind of sob.
Hey.
His voice was very soft as he gently pulled her hands away from her face.
What?
It's just the risks, Draco. Her voice broke and she felt her eyes fill. He shifted and pulled her into his arms against his chest.
I can't stand by and do nothing. Not anymore, it's personal now.
He stroked her hair. She felt a tear roll down her cheek. Fuck! He wiped it away with his thumb.
I know.
She clutched at him tightly, rubbing her cheek against his chest, listening to his heart. The song was changing, and the only sound was the rain drumming on the roof above them. She synced her breathing with his and tried to imprint the moment on her mind. His hand kept stroking her hair, and she made herself relax. Be here now, and not dwell on the terrifying and uncertain future. After a long while, she felt the hum of his voice against her cheek.
Sometimes I wish. Often I wish.
What? She looked up at him.
That we didn't. None of the rest of it existed.
He looked into her eyes.
What if it was just you and me? And we met here, and we got to know each other, and we had all the time in the world.
Hermione's voice was choked. I would love that. Would have loved that. She reached up and touched his face, not trusting her voice and trying to convey what she felt with her eyes and the tips of her fingers. He took her hand and shifted, turning them slowly and moving over her as his head dipped, and she felt his lips on her jaw and then her neck.
I just...
he whispered, his lips like feathers brushing her skin.
I just want to lose myself sometimes. Forget it all. All the rest of it.
She made a noise of assent. She wouldn't mind stopping time in this quiet moment in the rain.
But that feels selfish somehow.
His voice was so soft she almost didn't hear the words. It's not selfish. She stroked the back of his neck. It's real. Her fingers tightened and she brought his face up, brought his lips to hers, kissed him deeply. He kissed her back with unmistakable passion, tongue delving deep into her mouth until she was gasping and dragging her fingers against his skin. She moved against him and felt his arousal, making hers even sharper. Lose yourself, she whispered after a while. In me. He drew in a fast breath. His fingers brushed over her breasts, down her ribs to her hips.
You want to?
The rain pattered on the window and a radiator hissed. The room was dark, but for the small glow of her bedside lamp. The music played a series of melancholy piano chords. Yes, she said, shifting her fingers at the waistband of his trunks. She hooked her thumbs underneath and slid them down. His face was in her neck and her hair, but he had stilled completely.
Are you sure?
Hermione examined herself for a moment and found she very much was. Yes. She arched her back. His mouth went to her breasts, and then she gasped as he lingered there, his hands sliding to her hips and under her knickers. Sensation exploded across his skin, and she shivered with delight.
Are you cold?
No. She caught his face and brought his lips to hers again. His fingers tightened on her hips, and he pushed her knickers down. She helped him until they were skin to skin, the feeling exquisite. Reveling in his taut muscle and long limbs, she stroked and skimmed until he groaned and pushed against her, his hardness against her softness intoxicating. She gasped in earnest when his fingers found her core, while his lips found her breasts again. She was sighing his name when he finally came up, cupping her face with his hands.
You're sure?
Yes. Oh, God, yes. She could feel him and she wanted more. More of him, more of everything she was feeling. She clutched at his back and tightened her legs around him, drawing him to her. He went slowly, his breath suspended and his face tucked to her neck again. Please, she whispered. The rain drove harder against the glass.
Gods, Hermione.
His voice was more breath than speech. Her name on his lips as he filled her. The sensation, like nothing she'd... She tilted her head back and moaned as he began to move. Her nails on his skin, her fingers in his hair. Her breath ragged. His breath ragged. She pulled her legs up and around him and he gasped, sped his pace. God, you're perfect. God, you feel perfect. God, God, God. She pulled his face back. She wanted to look at him while they were joined, together. And he looked at her, put his hand up and brushed the hair back from her temple, pushed into her as she sighed his name. His eyes darkened and he moved again, harder and faster now. Yes, she hissed, with her voice and her body. Yes, again, more. His eyes fluttered shut and he pressed harder against her, his weight so good, hands clutching into her hair and skin, lost in her. She felt a soaring happiness and raked her nails against his shoulders. Her sensation built and spiraled up. She started to reach down, but he stopped her.
Let me.
His lips on her neck again, then his fingers down to her breasts, then down to where they were joined. He touched her and she arched her back. Oh, God! Her hands spasmed, her body built and tensed. Don't stop! Don't stop! God, Draco, please!
Yes. Yes. That's it. Perfect. You're perfect.
His words against her lips. A sort of mantra. Then he was kissing her while he stroked her. She began to soar, to reach for something so stunning she couldn't name it. To have all of this, all of him at once. She began to gasp and cry out, his name over and over again. He pushed into her faster and harder, touching her still, through every sensation until she was writhing and screaming out, her world shattering into a million exquisite pieces. Still, he moved inside her, through the whole thing, through the sea change from before to after, until he was calling her name and then collapsing. his body heavy and lovely against her. They lay for a long time in the quiet, her fingers on his skin, his breath on hers. The music was soft and the rain was hard. Hermione felt a happiness that was so deep it almost couldn't be named. He rubbed his cheek on her chest and she felt his lips there, just brushing her throat. She stroked his jaw and down his neck. Eventually he inched up and looked into her eyes, kissed her again, soft and sweet, before he pulled back and a very faint smile lifted his features.
That was...
He took a breath.
Yeah,
she laughed. He rested his chin on his hands, his eyes very light silver.
Please believe me when I say it's never been like that for me before.
No. She shook her head once, her own smile breaking over her face.
I probably should have asked before, if you've ever... done that.
He grimaced slightly, then his eyes widened.
And shit, if you cast the charms. Or is there a muggle way?
There is definitely a muggle way. But I cast the charms days ago. Her grin widened.
Oh, you did?
He laughed softly.
Mm-hmm.
She ruffled his hair.
And the other?
She looked up at him, perplexed.
You've done it before?
He prompted. Oh, yes.
Do I want to know with who?
The corner of his mouth went up, but she could see a tightness around his eyes. We're talking about this.
Okay,
she nodded. Well, it's not anyone you know. No one from school. His face relaxed a little.
Someone from home? A muggle?
Yeah, a boy I met last winter break. And you? His eyes cut away.
Well... Pansy, and two others, girls I met in France last summer.
He looked back. So just three? Hermione was a tiny bit surprised. Even she had heard the rumours about him at Hogwarts.
I'm no Theo.
He quirked a brow and she snorted. He shifted back around and she moved to select a new CD. Draco picked up the one they'd just been listening to and turned it over, letting the surface glint in the low light.
I liked this one.
He looked up a bit and bit his lip as he smiled.
I think it's probably burned on my brain now too.
Hermione shot a quick smile back. I'll make you a tape.
Please, do.
He settled back down and she rested her head on his chest, running her fingers over the satin of his skin.
So, you and the weasel?
His voice was unusually tentative. What about Ron?
You never...
She looked up at him. Oh, this? No, nothing like this. She went silent, her memory reaching back to the last day of term. Ron's face when she told him she didn't feel that way about him.
Because I always had the impression...
Draco's voice pulled her back to the present.
Especially when he was with Lavender. And there was a lot of talk.
Oh, you weren't wrong, she said. For a long time I wanted that. But then I... didn't. Right as he realised he did, funnily enough.
So there was never anything?
He tried to kiss me the last day of term, but I put a stop to it. She let her lips ghost over Draco's skin as she spoke, and he made a little sound of contentment. His hand went to her hair again.
Good. Because if you're going off with Potter, I'm assuming Weasley will be there too.
She felt him stiffen.
And you've never... anything with Potter, correct?
No! I told you before. We're platonic friends and always have been. She looked into his eyes to emphasise her words. He held her gaze for a beat, and then his lips turned up in a smirk.
I guess I just find it hard to imagine being around you all these years and not trying something.
Oh, I haven't seen that look in a while. She reached up and traced his mouth with her fingers, which he captured and bit lightly. Hey! She rose up and put her hands on his shoulders, then lowered her face to his. You have, she said, nipping at his lower lip. Nothing, she kissed him, to worry about. He reached up and kissed her back.
Please make that clear to fucking Weasley. I don't want him thinking there's a second chance brewing.
So you want to continue this while we're apart? Hermione felt warmth flood her chest at this information.
Yes.
He kissed her.
Absolutely.
He pulled back suddenly.
Don't you? And after all this is over?
Yes. And maybe we'll even end up back at Hogwarts, she said dreamily, imagining it.
And when I walk into the Great Hall and kiss you like this?
He demonstrated for a good while, and Hermione felt her desire kindling again. And when I sneak into your bedroom? She broke off and moved to straddle him. And kiss you like this?
I will definitely burst into fucking flame,
he muttered, making her smile. His hands swept over her hips and around her waist as she shifted, realizing he was ready again. He groaned and she sped up her movements, enjoying the sparks of pleasure they were creating, loving the fact that they had nowhere to be and nothing to do, that they were safe tucked away in this little cocoon of warmth and quiet. She looked at him and his eyes were closed and his head was thrown back. So she reached down and ran her lips up his throat and to his jaw. She nipped at his ear just as she reached down and stroked him. His whole body jerked in response.
Fuck me.
Do you want me to? She whispered into his ear as she tongued it. He blew out a quick laugh that turned into a moan.
Oh, yes. Please, gods.
She obliged, splaying her other hand across his chest as she slid down slowly on him, gasping and open-mouthed. His eyes were hooded as he looked up, breathing heavily, just watching her. She began to move, astounded at the sensations and feelings surging through her. She'd meant it when she said it hadn't been like this before. Everything was better, heightened. Even the sound of the rain and the music, the sharp, gorgeous planes of his face and his bright, tousled hair. His hands tightened around her waist.
Gods, that feels fucking good, he said, through heavy breaths.
She threw her head back and her chest out and moved faster, wanting more of the friction, of perfect fullness. Suddenly he reached for her wrists, circling them and pulling her forward into a deep kiss. She fell into it, fell into him.
I will never forget this day, this afternoon, this moment,
he whispered as he nuzzled her neck. And Hermione knew it would stay with her too, forever. Chapter 23.
It's just up here.
Draco turned back and smiled at Hermione as he led her down the path alongside the willow stream. It was green and close under the trailing branches of the trees, which were keeping out the worst heat of the broiling day. God, I just want to wade in there, she groaned, lifting her hair off her neck and stooping to stare longingly at the crystal clear water.
All in good time. I promise it will be worth the longer walk.
Draco was eager to show her what was up ahead. A small, deep pool fed by a waterfall that in turn fed the meandering stream. Almost too cold for swimming most days, it would be just the thing for today's ridiculous heat. If you say so, she said, giving him a flinty look.
Almost there.
He took her hand to pull her around a sharp curve in the path, and kept it as they walked for a few more minutes. Finally, the trees thinned, the ground rose, and they were suddenly there, at the edge of a grassy clearing that ran high up the lip of the pool. Sunlight dappled the meadow, and the only sound was the trickling of the waterfalls. "Oh!" Hermione turned to him and clapped her hands twice. "It's beautiful, Draco." She immediately pulled her dress over her head and threw it at him. "And I'm getting in right now."
"No objection here," he said,
letting his eyes slide very obviously over her body. She'd worn the white bikini, his favourite, because it reminded him of that first day at the pools. He made an appreciative noise, and she wrinkled her nose at him before turning towards the water. He watched her go for a bit, before walking into the meadow and throwing his rucksack down on a nice spot. "This is so much better than the pools for today," she called, seemingly reading his mind as she dipped a foot into the water.
"Yes, it would be much too hot there."
And crowded, Draco thought, as he unfurled a cotton spread and lay it in a shady part of the grass. He looked around, appreciating that the long, sometimes steep walk from the road seemed to discourage anyone from coming here. They seemed to have it entirely to themselves. "This water is not warm." Hermione had more of her foot and leg submerged now, and was grimacing at him.
"No, I think it comes straight off the mountains. Much more of a quick plunge than a leisurely swim situation."
"Well, here goes." Draco straightened to watch her as she turned fully towards the pond, held her nose and, after only a brief hesitation, jumped in. She emerged a few seconds later, shaking her head, laughing and gasping as water streamed over her face. "Oh my God, that's fucking cold!" she yelled.
"Told you."
It occurred to Draco that he had adored this about her, her willingness to just plunge in, and he smiled at the thought as she pulled herself up and out of the water, then leaned over to squeeze her hair. "I didn't bring a towel, so you'll have to do," she said, as she advanced on him and threw her arms around his waist.
"Hey!"
He tried for a moment to get free, but then surrendered, wrapping his arms around her wet body and planting a kiss on the top of her head. Eventually, she let him go with a laugh and plopped down onto the cotton square. "I suppose I'll let the sun dry me the rest of the way."
"See that you do."
He raised a brow and she stuck her tongue out at him, then rolled onto her back and shaded her eyes. "Aren't you going in?"
"Maybe later."
He didn't feel quite hot enough to brave it yet, and he was enjoying watching her dry. "Well then, are you hungry?" she asked, propping herself up and beginning to rummage in her bag. "There were some beautiful peaches at the market this morning, and I couldn't resist. Hope they're not squashed."
"Oh, that will go well with the wine,"
he said, pulling a cold bottle of Prosecco from his rucksack. "A cooling charm?" She tussed at the bottle. "Naughty, naughty."
"Oh, you don't want any then?"
He arranged his face in lines of mock innocence. "Hand it over, Malfoy." He laughed and he popped the cork.
"I'll trade you for a peach."
She was cutting the fruit into slices, but paused and popped half of one into her mouth. "You'll have to come and get it." He looked at her for a brief beat, and then lunged forward until he was very close to her face.
"Gladly,"
he whispered, once they were almost touching. The corner of her mouth went up, and her eyes crinkled. He moved forward, and the sensation of slipping his tongue around the velvety fruit, and then against her soft lips, was instantly and intensely erotic, and what was supposed to be playful deepened almost instantly into something more. These things so often did with her, because he found her totally irresistible. But this was too much. She was nipping his lower lip, and he was seriously thinking about sliding the hand that was buried in her hair down to the tie at the neck of a bikini when she pulled back.
May I have my wine now?
Her mock innocent look almost got her tossed down on the blanket.
He blinked several times.
I suppose,
he finally said, smirking and hitching back to grab two glasses from his bag. His hand brushed against something laying on the bottom, and he started in surprise.
I forgot. I bought you something,
he said, starting to pour the fizzy liquid.
Oh?
She took her glass and nodded her thanks. Draco fished out a small bag, smoothed it and held it towards her.
For you.
She frowned as she turned the bag over and noted the monastery's crest printed on the paper.
Draco, you went outside the wards.
She turned her frown on him, clearly wrestling between annoyance and a softer emotion. He shrugged a shoulder.
I wanted to say goodbye to my friend at the apothecary, get something for my mum and that last jar of honey for that git I've been rooming with this summer.
She kept glaring at him, so he leaned forward and brushed her lips with his.
And something for you, of course. Aren't you going to open it?
She kissed him back, but also gave him one last look.
Okay, but I still don't like it, she said, unrolling the bag. Oh, Draco, the perfume!
Her frown turned instantly to a brilliant smile.
You remembered?
Remembered? I'm unlikely to forget. You were very close to being kissed right then, you know.
I was?
She opened the perfume and began dabbing it on her wrists and neck.
Yes, only the fact that we were on the grounds of an actual monastery.
And your extreme idiocy.
That too.
He closed his eyes and nodded.
Only those things kept it from happening.
Well, I do not condone trips outside the wards for any reason, but this was very sweet and thoughtful.
She held the small vial up and turned it.
Still a silly name, though.
He laughed.
I know. Tutti Frutti. Gods.
Oh! She put up a finger. My mum always said if you want perfume to last, don't just put it on your skin. Put it on your clothes, too.
But you're not wearing many right now,
Draco murmured.
And not that I mind,
he said through a sip of wine, as she pulled her bag over and started looking through it.
No, but I have... Here it is!
She pulled out a long, thin scarf and ran it through her fingers, before uncapping the perfume bottle and touching its mouth to the silky fabric.
Et voila!
She began winding the scarf around her damp hair.
Now kiss me, and see if you can tell I'm wearing it.
Draco leaned forward, very happy to oblige. Instantly the scent of the perfume rose around him, and he was pulled back into the emotions of the day that they'd spent at the monastery. How happy he'd been! How excited to get to know her and share some of himself with her too. How much he'd wanted to do this very thing. The tension and longing. He slid his palm down her back, pulling her closer and prolonging the kiss. She sighed against his lips.
I went to the bench too, you know,
he said softly, teasing his tongue against hers.
Our bench.
Her hand went up his neck and around to his nape.
The bench. How nice. That was such a good day. A good conversation.
She pulled back and looked at him, her eyes warm.
Thank you for giving me a way to remember it.
You're very welcome.
He pulled her close again, and they were occupied for a while until she broke gently away.
Speaking of the bench and that conversation...
She sat up and wrapped her arms around her knees. Draco's skin prickled.
Yes?
We didn't get to talk much the other day about what you're doing after you leave here.
True. I was a bit distracted, if I recall.
He tapped his chin, memories of the rainy day in the bedroom flooding his mind.
Be serious, Draco.
all right.
He schooled his features and looked at her inquiringly. I don't like your plan. Her dark eyes flashed and a crease appeared between them.
Well, I don't like yours.
He leaned over and fetched his wine, drank deeply. But mine is... We have to.
Potter has to, you mean. Although I concede that he wouldn't get far without you.
Draco picked up the stone from their peach and chucked it towards the pond. She shook her head. You know what I mean. You could stay safe, hidden by the Order until it's done. Why take the risk? He saw that she had begun twisting her hands in her lap and reached out to still them.
And what would that make me, if I just sat on the sidelines?
He put his wine down, placed one of her hands between his palms and looked into her eyes. Smart! You've already done enough. You stopped them getting into Hogwarts. You saved Dumbledore.
That's one way to look at it.
He dropped her hand and glanced across the meadow.
I don't quite see it that way.
She was quiet for a long time. Then she said, So, I can't convince you. He looked back at her, hating the quaver in her voice, but knowing there was nothing he could do to change it.
No.
She gave a short, humourless laugh. And I, of all people, know how stubborn you are.
Yes, and you've already used throwing your body at me as a tactic once. It won't work again.
Oh, won't it? She leaned over him and licked her lips very slowly. He watched her for a beat, then swiftly reached up to kiss her. But she ducked her head and unbuttoned his shirt, placing a series of soft kisses down his chest and stomach, and lower. He leaned back and closed his eyes. It felt fucking incredible, but he managed to hold relatively still until she got to the waistband of his trunks and looked up.
Tough nut to crack, she said, narrowing her eyes.
Mm-hmm.
He was actually so turned on he didn't trust himself to form words. She shifted back abruptly.
Fine. Maybe you'll do as a spy after all.
He looked at her for several moments before his arms shot out and he pulled her over him, toppling them both and kissing her deeply.
Minx,
he said after a while. I play to win. She arched a brow and he couldn't help but kiss her again.
Stalemate then, she said after another interval.
He broke contact with the soft skin of her neck and looked up.
I believe so.
All right, she said, and he bent his head again, but she pulled him up, palms on either side of his face, eyes looking deep into his. But you have to promise me something, Draco.
Anything.
This is serious.
All right.
He focused on her.
If we meet out there, and it appears we're on opposite sides. You can't break character. You can't try to help me or save me, if it means risking yourself or the cause.
He looked at her for a moment, her words draining all the warmth and beauty from the clearing. She kept his gaze, hers steady until he looked away.
Can you do that?
Her words were low and urgent.
I don't know. If they're hunting you or...
He shook his head, hard. His heart sped and his fingers curled against her skin.
You have to, Draco. It's the deal we make with ourselves when we let this happen.
Was it really? He looked back up, felt a faint wetness in his eyes.
And what if I can't?
I'm asking you to. I'm asking you to promise. For your own safety. For everything we're fighting for. For the chance that we might be able to walk down Diagon Alley someday, holding hands. For all the world to see.
He looked at her face, let himself drink her in for a long moment,
and let himself imagine a future free of threats or fear.
All right, he finally said, but only if you promise me the same thing.
She nodded slowly, though her eyes also became shiny. I do. I promise. He touched his forehead to hers.
For us, and the future.
Yes. Her hand slid into his hair, and she brushed it back. Speaking of the future, he looked at her attentively. Is there another glass of wine in mine? She held up her empty glass as a grin stole across her face. Draco felt his own body relax. Quite right not to dwell when they had so little time left together.
Might be,
he said, squinting into her eyes, then letting his own lips tilt up. She laughed and he reached over and grabbed the bottle. Speaking of the future, she said as she filled her glass. Have you given any more thought to what you'd like to do after all of this? After we're done with school? If we get to go back, that is.
Are you asking me what I want to do with my life again? Like in the kitchen at the party?
Oh, yes, the party. Her cheeks flushed a little and he smiled.
Another time you nearly got kissed.
Oh, really? She tilted her head. I wasn't exactly sure.
Oh, yes.
He interrupted her to reach forward and touch his lips to hers.
Fucking Theo,
he muttered after a bit, cutting his eyes to the side as she giggled. Fucking Theo indeed, she said. If you'd kissed me then, this might have all sped up a bit. She teased at his lips. You'd have got into my knickers a lot sooner. He groaned, his head suddenly filled with images and sensations of getting into her knickers right now.
Don't remind me.
He adjusted himself subtly and rolled over, trying to calm his heated body. It was a long walk back to the bike and a longish ride back to his flat, or her flat, and any sort of bed.
The future,
he muttered, as he plucked a piece of grass and rubbed it between his fingers.
Well, like I said at the party, I wouldn't mind coming back here and get a flat, something more like yours than mine, warm and comfortable, and go to work, come home, eat good food, read and listen to music, take you to bed.
His eyes flicked to hers. She had sat up and was now cross-legged, smiling dreamily at him. I like this plan. A lot. She shifted down to lay next to him, laced her fingers with his. There wouldn't be any wards, so we could go to Florence and the Muggle Museums there. See a film, go to the beach. I really want to go to the beach with you.
That would be lovely.
And Rome, she said, squeezing his hand. We could hole up in a little flat there, ride around on a Vespa.
I think I'd need something a little faster.
Fine, fine. She nudged him with a grin. But we could travel. I'd love to travel with you. Spain, Portugal, Greece, beyond Europe. He nodded, just gazing at her, a bit amazed at what an unfettered future could be. And after that, she was continuing, I've been thinking, and I believe I'd like to go to Muggle University.
Really?
Yes. I find it so strange that there isn't a wizarding equivalent.
Yeah, he rubbed his chin. Just masteries and apprenticeships.
Which can be really insular and hard to obtain if you don't have the right connections, she frowned. It's just another way to keep knowledge and wealth contained in certain hands. He tilted his head.
I'd never thought of it that way.
She lifted her brows.
But you're right,
he said quickly, then sighed. Sometimes the obstacles in their world seemed insurmountable. He tilted against her.
Which Muggle University?
She smiled fleetingly at him. Well, before I learned I was a witch, it was my goal to go to Oxford.
You knew which university you wanted to attend at 11 years old?
8, actually. We visited the city the summer I was 8.
I decided then. He looked at her for a beat, and then pulled her tightly against him, chuckling into her hair.
What? That's not that strange.
She pushed at him, but then let him kiss her.
I'd have to do something clever with my school record, though.
She murmured it as he bent down to nip her shoulder.
I'm sure you could manage,
he muttered.
It may even have been done before.
Draco could tell she wasn't attending, so he let his fingers creep up to the bow around her neck and pluck slyly at the dangling string.
Hey!
She swatted his hand away.
We're in public!
Barely.
But he pulled back and flicked his brows, grabbing for another of the peaches and biting into it. She reached for the short blue dress she was using as a cover-up and pulled it over her bikini while shooting him a severe look. He made a mew of disappointment that she leaned over and kissed. He held her there, kissing her back until they were both breathless, and he had to break away.
You know, Oxford's not that far from Wiltshire. I could probably manage living there and helping my parents.
Hmm. She tilted her head and smiled. Then her eyes narrowed. Is that what you would do? Or would have done? She leaned on her chin.
Actually, that's a good question. What would you have done?
What do you mean?
In the old world. Before times.
Before times?
The war, this summer. Us.
Draco rolled onto his back and looked up at the endless blue above. His mind travelled to the hypothetical life he would have lived.
Well?
He flicked a glance to Hermione.
There would have been a lot of pressure on me to get engaged quite soon after school. Maybe even during seventh year.
What?
Yeah. You probably weren't paying attention because it was mostly Slytherin-centric, but there's usually a student engagement announced every few years.
She lay back too.
I guess maybe I do remember hearing that, but I thought it was a one-off. How strange.
Yeah.
Why is it like that?
Tradition, mostly, he shrugged. With the Malfoys, there is something difficult in producing an heir, though. And there's usually only one per generation. I wasn't born until almost 5 years after my parents married. I think it's something a lot of pureblood families face, hence the pressure for an early start.
Wow.
She rolled onto her side and looked at him.
I just never noticed. But now that you mention it, except for the Weasleys, most of you are only children.
And the Weasleys are an incredibly rare case.
Huh.
She propped her chin on her hand and stared down at him.
Wonder if it's something to do with the lack of variety in a gene pool.
Perhaps, although they never acknowledged a Muggle scientific explanation. I've also heard vague talks of curses. A lot of the old families have them in their bloodlines, although it's all kept very hush-hush.
Hermione shook her head.
Incredible. And how would it have worked? For you?
Well, of course it would have been to a suitable girl, vetted by my parents.
So the polar opposite of me?
He rolled his eyes and reached out to wind a strand of her hair around his finger.
Unfortunately for me, yes.
Would you have loved or even liked this girl? Would you have had any say at all?
He shrugged.
I'd have had a say, but I probably wouldn't have had any huge objection to anyone they chose. Hopefully we'd have gotten along and I'd have liked her enough to want to, you know, make heirs.
She smacked him. Hard.
Draco Malfoy!
What?
He shielded himself, laughing.
Honestly, men!
She dropped back onto her back and blew out a huge sigh. He leaned over her. She was pouting adorably, then ghosted his lips to her jaw.
I think I've made it fairly clear that nothing's ever been like what we have.
Hmm.
She tossed her head on the blanket, and he applied himself to kissing down her neck, to a spot he knew she liked, near her collarbone. Finally, she relaxed and sighed.
I suppose we are speaking in hypotheticals.
Exactly,
he breathed, his lips inching closer to her breast. He was just about to nudge her dress aside when she pushed upright again.
Wait, would it have been to someone I know? Like Pansy Parkinson?
He snorted.
No, the Parkinsons are not quite at the level my parents would require.
Really? But you...
Fine for a girlfriend, not for a wife, Draco.
Draco said in an imitation of his father's drawl. Of course, Lucius had said something much cruder at the time.
Oh, wow. Hermione's voice was quiet.
He sighed and lay back again.
Yeah, I don't think Lucius would have entertained the idea of anyone in our year, except for maybe Daphne Greengrass. But she and Theo... Yeah. No.
He shook his head.
I would have objected to that. I'd have probably ended up with someone European, a Beauxbatons girl or something.
So you would have gotten married?
She stuttered lightly.
Then what?
Learned to run the estate, taken over the Wizengamore and the various board seats my father fills. It's a full-time job, and he wants to retire to France one day, grow grapes or some such.
And you would still do that? Not at the arranged child marriage stuff, but the estate management.
She propped up and brushed her fingers over his brows. He closed his eyes and enjoyed the caress.
Can I just be your houseboy while you study instead?
He murmured.
A sex slave?
She started giggling.
No, really,
he said, his eyes still closed, but his lips lifting in a grin.
I'll live with you in Oxford, drive you to and from class, cook for you, service you in the evenings to reduce stress.
She was really laughing now.
I can only imagine what kind of intrigue that would cause. My model, beautiful chauffeur. Can I have you wear a uniform?
She asked, her eyes bright. He tickled her in response and she collapsed against the blanket, where he kissed her soundly.
But truly,
he said, a bit breathless after a long interlude.
I've always thought I'd like to do a potions mastery. Maybe try to develop a few of my own to make a mark that way.
Commercial drafts?
No, more like fundamental magic. Or healing.
That would be fantastic, Draco. And I think you'd be quite good at it.
Why, thank you. I did always best you in potions,
he said, nipping at her lower lip. He was enjoying this conversation immensely, but she was also driving him insane.
Only in potions, she was saying, giving him a look that raised his blood even further.
He reached out and pinned her wrists.
God, that's a turn-on.
He shook his head once and rubbed against her body.
What? Me besting you?
It was a smirk. That's what her look was.
No.
He cocked his head and looked to the side.
Well, actually, yes. But I mean your mind more generally.
Her eyes darkened and Draco felt his desire ratchet up some more.
And what would your incredibly sexy mind want to study at Muggle University?
He felt himself get a little breathless as she shifted so that he was lying between her legs, bending her knees so that they fit against each other tightly.
I think it would be a split between something I'm passionate about, like literature, art or history, and something I feel would unlock more connection to magic, like theoretical physics.
He put his brows up.
Perhaps both.
His suggestion seemed to please her, because she smiled, then reached up and kissed him.
Yes, perhaps both.
Maybe you could learn why a scent in your hair reminds me so forcefully of wanting to kiss you, which in turn makes me want to...
His lips had snuck down and she gasped.
Oh, I can tell you all about that already. I read about it. It's to do with... Oh, neural paths?
She wiggled underneath him.
Let's at least go under the trees, Draco.
What was she saying?
Draco's senses overloaded, but he managed to get up neatly and pull her to her feet too. Within seconds, he had her against the trunk of a very large tree, one hand pushing at the hem of her dress, and the other finally undoing the tie of her swim top. She threw her head back as he pushed a strap of her dress down, her breath coming fast as his. He could still smell that bloody perfume, and was so hard he could barely think. "Have you really never seen anyone here?" she asked, her voice a hot whisper in his ear.
"Never."
He was being honest, but he also cursed himself for leaving his wand in his rucksack all the way across the clearing. He'd have absolutely no problem bending the rules to cast a disillusionment charm at this moment, but he also wasn't moving for anything in the world. Her hand brushed the front of his trunks, and he started, sucking in a breath. "I want you," she sighed, glancing around. "But we'll have to be quick." A buzzing sensation built in Draco's ears and felt like he was going to fly out of his body. Was this really happening? But it seemed as it was, because the motion he felt against him was her shimmying out of her bikini bottoms and fucking stuffing them in the pocket of his shorts.
"Fuck, Hermione," he muttered,
his tongue going deep in her mouth, and his hands reaching under her extremely short dress. When he touched her, he could tell she was more than ready for him, which almost did him in before they'd even started. But he managed to keep his head and stroke her until she was gasping.
"Now, please,"
she said into his ear, and he buried his face in her hair as she hurriedly freed him. She was so hot and wet and gave a sort of aching sob when he pushed into her that he again came very, very close to losing it. And when she whispered,
"You can go fast. It feels so good. I'll handle myself,"
then reached down, he almost lost it again. But he managed to hang on to an extremely slim thread of control, at least until about 3 seconds after she muffled the scream of her release into the skin of his neck. A few minutes later, they were still against the tree, Draco's face in her hair as he took deep breaths of her scent, mingling with the fucking perfume that was probably now seared onto the very fibres of his brain stem, when they heard the unmistakable sound of shifting pebbles and laughing chatter from up the path.
"Shit!"
Draco pulled away and got his trunks up, at the same time as she righted her dress and bathing suit top, eyes wide and giggles escaping her mouth.
"My bottoms, quick! Oh my god!" she whispered.
He shoved them at her and she pulled them up, then smoothed down her dress.
"Your hair,"
he said, stepping back. It was poking out over the scarf in wild disarray. With a very quick movement, she slipped the silk band from her head, then stuffed it into his pocket with a rather sly smile as she ran a hand through her curls to put them mostly back in place.
"Come on."
She took his hand and led him back towards the meadow, just as a group of younger teenagers burst into the clearing, shouting and playing a small radio at top volume. When they got to their spot, Draco looked at Hermione, and she looked at him, and they both started laughing.
"That was close," she sputtered.
"But worth it?"
"Absolutely." Her smile emerged again, and he leaned forward to place a swift kiss on her lips. She picked up her bag and pulled out a bottle of water, also glancing at her watch when it fell out onto the blanket.
"Oh, shit! Draco, it's 3:30! Don't you have to be at the shop at 4?
"Fuck! Why is it you always make me lose track of time?"
Draco gave her a mock severe look as he started throwing things in his rucksack.
"It would have been fine if we hadn't..." She gestured towards the trees.
"Worth it,"
he repeated, flicking his brows at her.
"So fucking worth it. But come on, if we run and I drive the bike really fast, I think we can make it."
"Oh, that's a transparent excuse to exceed the speed limit." But she was laughing as she took his hand.
Hermione
Hermione giggled as she and Draco stumbled back into his flat. She'd taken advantage of their heightened state after the interlude at the tree to tease him on the ride home, clinging very tightly to him and letting her hands wander freely.
"I said you were a minx and I meant it,"
he said, spinning her against the wall as soon as the door shut. Any reply she might have essayed was lost when he captured her lips and pressed her into the wall in such a way that she forgot anything like words. It wasn't until he was pushing at the hem of her dress again that she came to and broke their kiss. "Draco, the time!"
"Fuck, fuck, fuck!"
His muttered curses landed somewhere on her neck.
"And I should have a shower,"
he sighed, as he stepped back and straightened.
"You could help me,"
he brightened. "You'd definitely be late then."
"True. Damn it."
He frowned, took a deep breath, and shook his head.
"Fine then."
He turned towards the loo.
"But don't go anywhere."
"I won't." Hermione drifted to his bedroom and flopped back on the large bed, the sound of running water the only noise in the flat. She sighed aloud as she thought of their afternoon, equal parts dreamy, romantic, and utterly thrilling. And when they'd been against the tree, it had felt so exciting, so good. Hermione gave a little groan. She'd never considered herself much of an exhibitionist, but just the thought that someone might have come when they were fucking against that tree. She shivered with a little dart of delight, suddenly really disappointed that Draco had to go. Just then he appeared in the doorway in nothing but a towel and made the disappointment that much sharper. She sighed.
"What?"
He turned and began pulling things from his wardrobe. "I just wish you didn't have to leave." She let a little bit of a pout seep into her voice.
"I'm not even going to turn around. The temptation would be too great," he said,
dropping the towel, much to Hermione's delight, and then pulling on his pants and jeans. She made an appreciative sound, and he did turn then, his eyes running over her body. She arched her back and struck a playful pose.
"On second thought, how much time do I have?"
His voice was speculative, and she laughed again as she looked at her watch. "You were supposed to be there 5 minutes ago." The laugh turned into a sigh.
"Fuck."
He raked a hand through his hair and bent to give her a swift kiss.
"Then I'm off before I detain myself any further."
"I think I'll stay and have a rinse before I walk home." Hermione suddenly felt sticky, hot and dusty.
"Of course."
He walked to the door.
"That'll give me something to entertain myself with as I while away the lonely hours at the shop. Feel free to lounge around my room unclothed as well."
"Maybe I will." Hermione raised a brow. Draco made a funny sound and rushed forward again, kneeling swiftly on the bed and giving her a long, lingering kiss. Hermione intensely resented bookshops and paid employment of all kinds at that moment. Just as she was running her hand to clutch his damp hair, he pulled away and walked purposefully towards the door, picking up his jacket, keys, and wand as he went. He gave her a quick smile as he ducked through the doorway, and she blew him a kiss.
"Temptress!"
she heard him call as the door opened and then closed.